So then today the Feast of Christ the King. We'll be here again in San Antonio area. And the epistle for this Feast of Christ the King is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1. Brethren, we give thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us unto the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For in him were all things created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominations or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and in him, and he is before all, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may hold the primacy. Because in him it hath well been pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell, and through him to reconcile all things unto himself, making peace through the blood of his cross, both as to the things that are on the earth and the things that are in heaven, and in Christ Jesus our Lord. Then the gospel, taking that according to St. John, chapter 18. At that time Pilate said to Jesus, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or have others told it thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thy own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee up to me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would certainly strive that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence." Pilate therefore said to him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. For this was I born, for this came I into the world, that I should bear testimony to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Those were the words of today's Holy Gospel. Oops. Too much. Higher. Let's see, it's already almost maxed. Just max it out, I guess. Okay, that's good. So then today, a few considerations on this great feast of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King. It's a feast that was established only a little while ago, 100 years ago, by Pope Pius XI in 1925. And it's a new feast because Christ's kingship is the essence of what he is. Jesus Christ is always king, he is only king, he will always be king. And this has never been questioned until modern times. Protestants are the first ones who really deny the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ. They don't believe that our Lord Jesus Christ is really and truly king. And because they only accept him as a partial ruler in their lives, as their own personal savior. But they don't accept him as the one that rules in every part of life. But our Lord Jesus Christ is a ruler. And there are many types of rulers. Rulers today, we have dictators, we have presidents, but our Lord Jesus Christ is not a dictator, he is not a president, he's not an elected official, he is a king. And a king can only become king in three ways, or two ways actually. One way is that he is the one, or three ways, first of all, he establishes the kingdom. He comes and establishes a new kingdom. Like when a man comes and establishes a kingdom and raises his family in an area, then he becomes the head of that place. And the second way is by inheritance, that his father is the king, or his father is the ruler, and he passed on the leadership to him. And the third way is by conquest, that a man comes in and takes over another man's territory, and he says, "I have conquered it, and that was once yours is now mine, and I am king." He's not an elected official. He is a conqueror, he is an inheritor, and he is a creator. And our Lord Jesus Christ's kingship is something that it comes by the one who conquers, comes by the one who inherits, and the one that builds. These are the kings. Whereas a president and a dictator, a president is elected, and generally in an election, when we have a president, like in our world today, in modern systems, you have a Democrat who runs for the presidency, then you have a Republican that runs for the presidency. And you may have also an independent party that runs for the presidency. You may have 25 different men running for the presidency representing 25 different factions. And what happens is, whichever one gets elected, that one faction to which he belongs is happy, and the other 24 factions are unhappy. They chose their own man to be the ruler of the people, and they had an election, and the majority or a greater number than ruled for the others ended up ruling for the man that won the election, and this man then becomes the ruler, and half the people are already unhappy. Half the people already have the foundation of not having an allegiance to him. And half the people can already say, like we see now with Biden, he's not my president, he's not my president, he's not my president. And a few years ago, the liberal Democrats were saying about Trump, he's not my president, he's not my president. And before that, the Democrats, Republicans were saying that Obama is not my president. And before that, the Democrats were saying, Republicans were saying Obama's not my president. Then the Democrats were saying Bush is not my president. And you go all the way back. There's an inherently negative thing or nature to the whole so-called democratic system of making a ruler. But a ruler is not the ruler of everybody. He's not the ruler of everything. And also his rule is dependent upon the people. His rule is not dependent upon himself or upon the country or upon God. He rules only for a time, and his rule is going to be about himself. Was George Bush a good ruler? Was Abraham Lincoln a good ruler? Was Obama a good ruler? Was Hillary tried to become a good ruler but didn't work? She's too busy preparing herself for hell right now. But the fact is, who are the various rulers? The very nature, even if they're not evil men, the very nature of the system diminishes the power of the one that rules. And furthermore, it makes his power like the one of an administrator. He simply can make rules. He has rules that he can follow. He can start wars. He can make policies. But he is not king. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, chose to spend his human life on this earth in three ways. He chose to be seen as the carpenter's son. And he was a carpenter's son. And he chose to be seen as a carpenter's son, but he chose to be priest, and he chose to be king. As a man, he is priest. And as a man, he is king. These are his two offices that he performs in his humanity. And today we celebrate his office as king. He is the king of all creation. And he is the king of the entire universe. And king is nothing like president. And king is nothing like dictator. And king is nothing like a chosen official. King has a totally different relationship. The closest thing to a king is a father. The king rules over every atom and molecule in his kingdom, and he rules over the kingdom as his own family. He does not rule it as one who administrates laws, or one that makes rules, or one that simply keeps things in place. The king is a father. The king is a source of unity to his kingdom. The king is a source of pride to his subjects. We can say our king is a great king. And if the king is a bad king, we are embarrassed at our king. But we are strengthened when our king is great. And we are weakened when our king is not. And our life, when the king becomes king, it is a cause of great rejoicing for all the people. Not the people of one faction, as opposed to people of another faction. But he is the father of all people in this kingdom. And there should not be a division from the king. Our Lord Jesus Christ is king. He is not a Republican. He is not a Democrat. He is not an independent. He doesn't represent one system or one way of doing things. He is simply the king and master of all that are in the place of his dominion. And where does he rule? We have all the old statues from the first part of the first couple hundred years of our church, where our Lord Jesus Christ is pictured as a child and carved as a child sitting on his mother's lap or being held by his mother. And when he is in his mother's lap or held by his mother, and also held by Saint Joseph, he has a globe in his hands. He holds in his hand a globe because Jesus Christ, the child, rules the entirety of the earth. And he holds it like a child. We say the child shall, it says of Isaiah, that a child shall lead them. It shall be a child that shall be our leader. And that signifies that he shall be innocent, that he shall be good, that his reign shall never come to an end. He shall never grow old. And the child rules the entirety of the earth. Now it is true that one of the things that a king does is he makes rules. Another thing that a king does is that he wages war. Another thing that a king does is that he punishes the wicked. And a king rewards the just. But a king is there. Our king is called the Rex Pacificus. He is the king of peace. A great king, when he rules in his kingdom, when he is honored and obeyed by his subjects, what is the natural result of this king's rule? Peace. Because many wicked kings exist in the world and have existed down the last 2,000, 6,000 years. And wicked kings follow factions. And wicked kings build their own kingdoms for their own self. And they very often oppress many. But a good king, when a good king comes into a place, there is peace. And our king is Rex Pacificus. He is the king of peace. He is also the king of truth, because the greatest enemy of a king is a lie. The king is one who rules according to the truth. The truth makes him put things in their proper order. The truth makes him say to one who has lied, to one who has stolen, to one who has committed an act of unjust violence, This is an error, and this is not in accord with the kingdom and its goodness, and therefore there must be a punishment. And the rule is the truth. Hence, the essence of his kingship is brought up of his manner of ruling, which is a man of truth. Remember, Jesus Christ is king in his humanity. He is not king in his divinity. As God, he is creator and Lord, but he is not king. The king is something that belongs only to a man. A man, Jesus Christ in his humanity, he is king. In Jesus Christ in his humanity, he is priest. He is the priest and king. He is the perfect priest and he is the perfect king. These are the two offices that he holds on this earth. He is always walking on this earth as a priest. And he is always walking on this earth as a king. And there is great rejoicing because our king is the king of peace. And our king is the king of the entire world. And he rules every atom and molecule in the universe because he is the creator. He rules all of the universe because it's given to him by his Father, as the Son. And he rules because he conquered Satan on the cross. But what is the nature of his rule? He rules with beneficence. He rules with a great love. He rules with a great gentleness. And he rules to make the world a peaceful place. And a place of truth. We notice here what our Lord says to Pilate on the day of the great evil of the crucifixion. Pilate says, "Art thou a king? Thou art a king, I am a king. Who is of the truth? Hear my voice." Consider the answer of our Lord Jesus Christ about his kingship to Pilate. Pilate's asking him, because why is this that the question about king is coming up? Because Caiaphas says that this man is going to rule against Caesar. He's going to rule against the Roman rulers, and therefore he must be put to death. Remember that when the Caiaphas brought Jesus Christ before the Pilate, he did not say, "This man is God, therefore he must be put to death." That's the reason why he was put to death in the religious trial. But when he comes before Pilate, he says, "This man causes sedition. This man rules his own kingdom. And this man is going to try to fight against the kingdom of Caesar in Rome. And he is going to be a point of sedition. And whoever is following this king other than Caesar, this man must be put to death." And then just remember the very end, when Pilate says, "Behold your king." Well, what will Caiaphas say? "We have no king but Caesar." This would be the last thing that Pilate, that Caiaphas says before Jesus Christ is put to be crucified. So likewise in our world today, the modern Caiaphas, who the true head of the church, he was Caiaphas 2,000 years ago, and the true head of the church, who is called Pope Francis today, he is saying, there is no king but Caesar. We follow the dictates of the New World Order. We follow the dictates of the Bilderberg Group. We follow the dictates of the modern governments. When they say that you must take this vaccine, when they say that you must wear a mask, when they say you must live according to the laws of the world, not the laws of God. Who is the one that says there is no king but Caesar? It is the Pope, Pope Francis, repeating what Caiaphas said 2,000 years ago. But then what does Pilate say? What shall I do with thy king? We have no king but Caesar. Then what shall I do with your king? Let him be crucified. So that's the next step in the persecution of the church. They have said we have no king but Caesar. Now the next thing to do is to crucify all the faithful members of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let him be crucified because we have no king but Caesar. And then what is the title put upon the cross of those that are going to die for Christ? Jesus Nazarenus Rex Judaeorum. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. We are in a great fight right now. Is Jesus Christ only a Savior? Is Jesus Christ only for the religious and good people? Or is Jesus Christ a King? And how is it that He is King? And He is truly King and King of all. So Pilate asked Him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or have others told thee of Me? And Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thy own nation, the chief priests, have delivered thee up to Me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. And as the fathers point out, My kingdom is not of this world, but it is in this world. It does not come from this world, it comes from the world above. And many a liar, and many a heretic, and many a wicked man have always said about the church, Your kingdom is not of this world. Therefore, leave your kingdom in the clouds. Leave your kingdom in spiritual things. Leave your kingdom in heaven. But know what Lord Jesus Christ said. My kingdom is not of this world. That is, it does not come from this world. But it is in this world. My kingdom is in this world. My kingdom is not of this world. For if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would certainly strive that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence. He says a second time. Pilate therefore said, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest it, I am a king. For this was I born. Jesus Christ was born to be king in His humanity. Whoever looks at Jesus Christ looks at that man who is king. And whoever sees Him in another way sees a lie. Whoever sees Him only as a Savior, sees Him only insofar as I want to see Him, lives a lie, and therefore follows the father of lies, who is Satan. All Protestants are followers of the fathers of lie. That's what they all are. They are all followers of Satan, because they do not believe that He really and truly is King, and they're not going to follow whatever He says. Remember also, when Jesus Christ rules, He rules as a king. And the understanding of a king is, whatever decisions He makes are only for the welfare of His subjects. They are not for His own personal welfare, but the welfare of His subjects. The king lays down his life for his people. This is why it is a custom in all ancient times that whenever the country was in danger, the king went out to war to protect the country. He did not send his lower soldiers out. He did not send expendable people out. The king went out himself and led the armies. And why did the king go out and lead the armies? Because when his kingdom is threatened, when his children are threatened, it is the father's duty to defend them, not the father's duty to send someone else to defend them. Hence, it is a custom in ancient times that whenever there is a war, let the king fight the war. This also will diminish the number of wars, because if a king has to fight all the wars, he doesn't want to die, he doesn't want to be destroyed, and so therefore he will think carefully before he decides to fight a war. He will make sure that it is truly the last resort, and then he will go and fight a war. And a king will fight boldly. A king will fight viciously because a king loves his subjects. But what about the modern presidents and the modern dictators? They don't go to war. They sit in a comfortable place and they decide to blow people up and murder them at a distance. And they are very comfortable and they make money off of their wars. And they are not at all interested in the welfare of their subjects. But the king, he must take the soldiers, he must go to war himself. And Jesus Christ, why did he take his own body to the cross? Because he is king, and the king leads the army. Furthermore, when the army flees the battlefield in a noble fight, the king does not flee the battlefield, he continues to fight. The cowardly king runs away from the battlefield, but the great king does not. And our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross in his humanity because he's king. And he wanted to make it very clear that he is king, and kingship is the reason for his death. Hence it is written over the cross, Jesus Nazarenus Rex Judaeorum, King of Nazareth, the Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And the Caiaphas was upset because he no longer believed that he was king. This is one of the problems we have today. We want to be accepted in our world by others according to their conditions. But our Lord Jesus Christ, he makes the conditions because he is king. The king does not submit to the conditions of men. The king makes the conditions. And he went to the cross and died because he's king. Because he's the greatest of all human rulers that have ever lived. And therefore, when his entire army fled him, he fought. And he is such a great king that he doesn't need his army. With his own sword, which is the sword of the cross, with his own sword, he defeats with his own hand all his enemies because he is such a great king. And why does he defeat them? Out of love for his subjects, to protect his subjects. And what is that greatest evil? Let me continue against his kingship. Thou sayest it, I am a king, for this was I born. For this came I into the world. So there are two things. I was born. I have inherited my kingship. I came into the world. I have come to conquer those who have taken things from me. It is the child who is the Son of God who says, for this was I born. He would have said that with a gentle voice. For this came I into the world. He would have said that with the most powerful voice. Because the second one is, I have come because there are those who don't accept my kingship. There are those who are trying to take away the life of my subjects. There are those who are trying to take away the possessions given to me by my Father. And I have come into this world that I might take them back. I have come into this world that I might conquer them. For this was I born, inherited his kingship. For this came I into the world. He comes as a warrior. That I should give testimony to the truth. He is going to bear testimony to the truth. This testimony is born to every man. We know this is a dogma of our faith. That every single child who reaches the age of reason. Every human being from the time of Adam until the very end of the world. Shall see the testimony of the truth. They shall see the testimony of God. And whoever is of the truth shall hear his voice. Those who hear his voice and bring that voice into their hearts, such as that thief did on Good Friday. And what did the thief do on Good Friday? He spent a total of 3 hours with Christ, 3.5 hours, walking with him on the way to Calvary, hanging with him on a cross. So 4 hours he was with Christ. And during these 4 hours of his entire life, he was with Jesus Christ. During the first 3 hours, he spit on Christ and hated him. In the last hour alone did he turn to him. And what did that thief say? Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What is it necessary for that thief to have done, St. Dismas? He had to say, you, Jesus Christ, hanging upon that cross, dying by the hands of the sins of men, you are king. And not only are you a king, but you are a king who cannot be defeated. You're not just a king on your last day. Because the Lord, St. John, stood at the foot of the cross. But he believed he was a king on his last day. St. John believed that the kingdom was coming to an end because his king and lord and priest and master was being put to death. And St. John, out of respect, was going to be there for those last moments and then figure out how to live the rest of his life. St. John did not understand, and St. John did not believe. But a thief nailed to the cross in the time of the apparent defeat of Christ, this thief gained heaven because at this time of the great apparent defeat of our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, "Remember me when thou, King, comest into thy kingdom." Because the thief knew that Jesus the Christ, who hangs upon the cross, on the central cross, is still king. And not only is he still king in his humanity, but he's going to conquer all those fools on the ground. He's going to conquer those soldiers. He's going to conquer those mockers. He's going to conquer Satan itself. He himself, he's going to conquer all hell. He's going to conquer all of the world. And you want to be on the side of that king. And he had already conquered the heart of Dismas through the hand of the Blessed Virgin Mary, through the heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Many souls say now, in our time of battle, it's hard times. There are no Catholic kings. There are no Catholic armies. There are no Catholics in authority. There is no great Catholic resurrection happening right now. So right now, let's only hunker down. And let's only say, "Jesus, save me, have mercy on me." But let us not be warriors. Let us not proclaim him as the true king of the entire universe. He is the one who rules. Remember how he stood before Caiaphas. He said, "Thou, Caiaphas, thou shalt see the Son of Man come in power and majesty." And what did he say to Pilate? Pilate said to him absolutely foolish and absurd words. Foolish words that are being spoken into us right now by the Bilderbergers. Foolish words being spoken by the communists that rule this world. They are saying, "Do you not know that I have power over you? I've got power to put you to death. I've got power to give you life. I have power to release you." And what do we say to these communists? And what do we say to these Bilderbergers? And what do we say to all these wicked rulers of the world who have all the machine guns, they have all the cannons, they have all the nuclear weapons, they have all the computers, they got nano chips in our bodies, they have everything they need. But they do not have any power over me. And they have no power over anyone that is in the kingdom of Christ. In fact, they have no power over anyone at all. Therefore, when they say these words, "Do you not know we can throw you in jail? Do you not know we can shut down your whole life? Do you not know that we have power and authority over you? Thou hast no power over me, lest it were given to you from above." That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said on Good Friday. Remember that on that day, during his trial, as he carried the cross, as he was nailed to it, he was being the most kingly of kings. He was the most wonderful of kings on that day. And he wore a crown on that day. And he was called king on that day. And he spoke with power and majesty on that day. And he shed his blood for us on that day. And he even made sure that there were real men amongst men who praised him as king on that day. Yes, it was a thief. But he has one of the greatest glories in heaven, St. Dismas, because he proclaimed our Lord Jesus Christ as king, himself hanging on a cross of his own construction, hanging on a cross that he deserved to hang on, hanging on a cross that caused him to die because he deserved to die. And this wicked man that deserved to die turned to our Lord Jesus Christ and said, "Thou art king. And today you're going to come into your kingdom. And can you please remember me when you do?" And the Lord Jesus Christ turned to him and said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." Note the power with which Jesus Christ speaks on that last day. Always as king and master, never as subject. "Pilate, you have no authority over me. Herod, I've got nothing to say to you. And in the time of Annas, why dost thou strike me? If thou hast a reason to strike me, tell me what it is. Otherwise, why dost thou strike me? Caiaphas, You, Caiaphas, will see one day the Son of Man coming with power and majesty. Who's in control on Good Friday morning and Holy Thursday night? And when they came to him in the garden, whom dost thou seek? Jesus of Nazareth. And all he said was three words, I am he. And they fell flat on their faces. And Anchorthermic tells us they got up. And they said a second time, whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And a second time he said, I am he. And they fell on their faces a second time, collapsed by just hearing the man say, in his humanity, I am Jesus of Nazareth. Now who is this Jesus of Nazareth? It will be written on the cross that he is the King of the Jews. Now in our modern foolish times, we don't see this man as king. And what is this king doing? Why do we follow this king? Because this man protected me unto death. This man defended me unto death when I was spitting at him as he hung up on the cross. Because each of us that is saved, we can be very much like, and we'll know that our lives are like unto Dismas. We curse him upon the cross. We put him on the cross. And then we suffer because we have abandoned his kingship. But if we say from our hearts with the truth, thou art king, and we let the whole world know, this man is king, and we suffer the just reward of our crimes. Why do we suffer in America today? Why do we suffer in the world today? Why are we being persecuted? Because it is the just reward for our crimes. The just reward for my crimes. I don't have the right to blame anyone else. And so I suffer. And so we suffer. We deserve to suffer. But let us turn to that king on the central cross and say to him, thou art king. And remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom, when the victory of the Blessed Virgin Mary shall come, which is going to come soon. When that victory comes, remember me. And then he shall say to us, as he said to that thief, and the words that only a king can say. If he's not a king, what does it mean? Many a fool has said, I'll protect you. Many a fool has said, I'll be with you to the end. And they are now fools burning in hell. But when the king says, I will protect you, and the king says, thou shalt be with me, and it is a victorious king, a king that can never be defeated, then it matters, then it comforts, then it gives strength, then it makes us change our hearts. He is king. He is Lord. He is master over all things and all ones in his most sacred humanity. And he rules out of love. He rules out of care for those that are his subjects. And he shed every drop of his blood so that we would not have to shed ours. We unite a little pain to his. We have a little suffering to his. A very small suffering. And he will take it as though it's a big suffering. And he will give to it a great reward. Rejoice and be glad when they say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake. For your reward shall be great indeed in heaven. These are the words of the king. Hence they have power and meaning. And this king is the king of truth. And there is no truth without him. Remember also our Lord Jesus Christ said to Pilate, or rather to Pilate on that day of the crucifixion, he was of the truth, hears my voice. And what does that mean? If you don't hear his voice, you are necessarily not of the truth. There are many, many voices speaking out against the coronavirus. Many, many voices speaking out against the Bilderbergers. Many, many voices speaking out against the evils going on in the world today. But when these voices do not hear the voice of the truth, who is Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, they are not of the truth. They are not of the truth. And therefore they cannot combat and they cannot defeat the attacks of the enemy. Our government, our system, our democracy cannot defeat the Bilderbergers. It cannot defeat the enemies of God. Only Jesus Christ the King, the recognition of his kingship, and the following of him as King and his humanity, ruling in my home, ruling in my workplace, ruling in my city, ruling in my country, ruling in every part of my life. This conquers. But without, there is no way of conquering. So let us follow Jesus Christ the King and thank God that he has given us such a wonderful man. to become man on this earth, to be our king. In closing, I bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.